I hope what we can do in 2017 is draw near to the Lord. I'm going to preach the Lord willing this morning from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. I've really got two titles. One of them is Jesus at the Sea of Tiberias, but another title is Come and Dine, Come and Dine. So if you want to turn with me, I'm going to read those first 14 verses of John 21. And kind of put yourself in the scene here, if you can. And that's the Holy Spirit to put it here. And what I hope I can do today is do some preaching. You know, we're always supposed to teach and preach both. And sometimes there are more teaching than preaching. And preaching is teaching, but sometimes there's an element that's called preaching that seasoned saints know the difference. And I think you'll be aware after I get to the subject matter why I would like to preach. But we can't preach unless we're sent every time. And you can't really receive unless you are blessed to receive also. Anyway, let's read with these 14 verses here, okay? Beautiful scene indeed. You kind of imagine you were there, if you can do that. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathan of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. They said to him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast a net on the right side of the ship, you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship. They were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, that's about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, like he said to his children today. He's still saying the same thing. Come and dine. He brought me into a banqueting house. He had better over me with love. Solomon said. Come and dine, he said. And other disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was of the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he had risen from the dead. I want to glean from this as much as I can. Now, the reason they were there If you go to verse 1 there again, they were down there by the Sea of Galilee, where there's a hometown of a lot of those people. And here's why. Because over Matthew 28:10, then said Jesus, one of his post-resurrection appearances, then said Jesus to them, "Be not afraid, go tell my brothers, they're going to Galilee." And there they shall see me. Well, that was good news, wasn't it? Post-resurrection appearance. He'd been crucified. He appeared to some of his people. They said, "You go tell those guys to go down to Galilee. I'm gonna meet with them there." Now, a lot of people made a big deal about Peter saying, "I go fishing." I'm not sure that was bad. I don't know. The commentators are different on that, so I got as much right as they got to have an opinion. I don't really think he was forsaking the Lord. I really think he just didn't know what to do right now until he got a commission. He had to make a living. So I don't really think it's all that bad myself. He said, "Let's go fishing." And all those guys went with him. And then they failed that night. As they did fish all night, they failed. And I've got a comment I'll read that I got out of a commentary. I like this. Hence, in his loving providence, their complete failure. Have you ever had a complete failure? In his loving providence, their complete failure must serve the purpose of bringing into sharp relief the greatness of the gift he's going to provide. You know, sometimes we do labor and we don't have any success at all and we go into despair. A lot of you are there. Sometimes people, I've talked to people this week who've had a lot of setbacks and don't know what to do. And you think that, well, there's not any solution to this. And then when God brings this amazing solution, then you're just thrilled. You realize that God meant what he said about me, you can do, fill it in for me. Nothing. But what with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So I don't know what you're facing in 2017, but that's all things are possible with God. And then also in verse 4, I want to make a point here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. I want to make the point. A lot of times Jesus is near us, we don't even know it. You know it? A lot of times he's right there. We just don't know it. He's always near, by the way. But sometimes you don't know it, because the devil wants you to know that. So you realize he's near his people. I remember what Thomas Mann said the last time he was here. When they're out there toiling and rowing, and they couldn't see him, but Thomas said, but he saw them. So let's remember that, all right. Sometimes you don't see him, he sees you. And he knows where you're at. He knows he cares for you also. All right, now verse 6, probably this brought back their mind to something that happened earlier in their ministry. And some a good lesson for us, because we're supposed to toil and work. But the Bible says in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman will have been in vain, but that we're still supposed to be building and keeping, aren't we? But God got away, letting us know he gets all the glory. So in verse 6 here, I'll read that verse to you. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right hand, the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they're not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Well, back in Luke chapter 5, they had a similar experience. Now, I'm just going to read you one verse. It's a great place. I remember hearing a great sermon one time. Brother Bradley preached on this. I never will forget it. I heard it on radio. They had toiled all night again, like sometimes you've been toiled all night. These guys had worked really hard all night, didn't have any success at all. But in this particular place in Luke 5, and Simon entered, saying, Master, we toiled all the night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to let it down anyway. It's your word. We've been working awful hard. You said do it. You need to be tuned to Jesus Christ this year in 2017. Listen to him carefully. A lot of times he's talking to us. We're making so much racket ourselves, we're not hearing what he's saying. So anyway, they said, we've had a bit of success, Lord. That may be where you've been. But he said, nevertheless, it's your word. I'll let the net down. And then I've got to read you something else. I'm going to get away from my comments in a minute and start preaching, hopefully. But why do you think they did that? They didn't know who he was, but yet they did obey him. So here's the key. Here's the key. It's the Lord's voice. And I want you to hear his voice today, not my voice. Even though you do hear my voice, I hope you go deeper and hear his voice. And I like this. These are the calmness, majesty, certainty, and authority. That's what they heard. I got something on my wall, a plaque. Travis Howden said one time, you heard the voice of the Lord. Everything else is just noise. There'll be a lot of noise this year. When you heard the voice of the Lord, everything else is just noise. So be listening to him. And then another comment was, so deeply impressed were they for the compelling tone of the stranger's voice, they obey with soldierly promptness. They obey. Now, that's what you need to be doing. We need to be obeying God when he's speaking. He's always speaking to his children. Lots of times through the gospel. A lot of times he brings the word to our heart, our meditations. Sometimes we're reading the Bible. He's speaking to us. I'm telling you, a lot of times we're not listening like we ought to. So sometimes he's got to kind of grab us by the lapel and say, listen. He shakes us a little bit. You got this adversity. You got this bump of the road. I want you to listen to me. Have you ever done it to your kids? Have you ever done any of y'all parents? Robert, you ever done that? Listen to me, Logan. Well, God, he knows how to do that. He knows how to do that. All right. Down to verse 7 again. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now, Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He girt his fisher's coat on to him. He was naked. He wasn't really naked. He just had his outer garment gone. And he'd cast himself to the sea. You know where he's going? He's heading for Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? This man who had denied the Lord. And so if you deny the Lord, the best thing for you to do is head toward him. But see, here's the way we act in our Arminianism. We're all Arminians by nature, by the way. So here's what you really think, but I'm telling you it's a lie. Let me just tell you it's a lie, okay? The devil will tell you a lie. I'm going to tell you what the devil says. He says, Robert, get yourself good enough and clean yourself up, then come to God. He's lying, Robert. You can't do it. So what you got to do, Jared, you know this. I know you got to learn it over and over again. Lord, you clean me up. Any of y'all got some problems with filth, moral filth? You better run. Hey, that's the only place you'll get clean. So don't run back over here. You run over here to him. So Peter, he jumped in heading for the Lord. And he got a good welcome. Well, that's another sermon for another day. That's what you got. I'm serious about this. I'm not trying to be a clever preacher. I'm just telling you, that's what you got. You run to the Lord. That's the only way you're going to get clean. And you'll find a welcome. If you're truly repentant, have a broken heart for your sins, I don't care where you've been, you'll receive a warm welcome. And you're cleansing the help you need. I'll tell you, I promise you that. The Word of God says that. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, like 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. Fish laid on the there and bread. I bet that looked good. I just love fish, y'all. I ate some with Richard again the other night. Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land. He must have really been strong. They couldn't do it. So old Peter had to get in there and put his muscle to it. Full of great fishes, and 153. Now, I don't know how much to spiritualize. I wish Grace Chapel had 153 members. Maybe I'll pray this year and give you 153 members instead for some reason. Simon Peter saith, went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all that there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Jesus saith to them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing there was the Lord. All right, now let's go. And what I want to do is this. You know what he told them to do? I'm going to go to some other scriptures. I'm going to some other scriptures. He gave them an invitation. He gave them an invitation. And I hope today he'll give an invitation to you. So I'm going to read you some invitation the Lord has given, okay? And here's what I'm hoping. There may be some people in my sound of my voice who never said something like this. Lord, I want to acknowledge you as my Lord. Has anybody ever said that? I've gone to church all my life. I've raised a Christian family. I know what all the cultural ways are. I know the things to say. But in your heart, in my heart, I have never said, Lord, I want to acknowledge you as my Lord. I know I need you. I know I can't save myself. And not only do I need a Savior, I need a Lord. I want to submit my life to you. Are you willing to do that in 2017? Well, you know, a lot of you people haven't submitted your life to the Lord. I haven't totally. I'm still trying to do that. Is there anything you're holding back on God? I hope today you'll listen to him, because I'm not asking you to come to church, even though I tell you, if you do come to the Lord, you will come to the church. But I'm not saying right now, he didn't say come to the church. He said, you come to me. So I'm going to read you some invitations to the scriptures, and I kind of got some goosebumps last night. We had a good little service here last night, kind of a seeing the new year in, and two of our brothers made a talk, Timothy and Ryan Poe. Ryan Poe used two of the very scriptures I'm fixing to use right now. So I got goosebumps. I said, Lord, hallelujah, you're kind of rolling the red carpet out for me. So let's go to this red carpet. Go to with me to Isaiah 55, and I'm asking God to speak to you today. The Lord gives invitations to certain people. So I want God to speak. He doesn't ask everybody to come to him. You know that? He does not ask everybody to come to him. But here's the kind of people he wants to come to him. Isaiah 55, beginning of the first verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come you to the water. Anybody thirsty here today? Spiritually thirsty? Are you? In the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. They shall be filled. Are you satisfied with your life? Are you thirsty? You want to get closer to God? Are there some sins you'd like to get rid of? Are there some hang-ups you have for a long time? You only have one short life to live. Is there anything hindering you from giving to God to the fullest? Anybody procrastinating? Ho ye everyone that thirsteth, and come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, and you don't have any money. If you think you got some money, he'll let you know you hadn't got any. He got ways of doing that too. Ho everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye by. You people don't have anything, you come by. And eat. And it's pretty rich too. You know, when you're serving God, you're not just survival, it's revival. From the very first, God showed what an abundant God he was. He told Adam and Eve, take of the tree freely, take of these fruit, of every except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Freely eat. That's the kind of God we serve. We got a God that James says, he giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. My friend Christian needed to learn how to live full lives. He said, I came they might have life and that more abundantly. If you're not living an abundant life, it's your own cotton picking fault. It's not his fault. I kick myself a lot of times looking back and say, I've cheated myself of a lot of blessings. Not just blessing for me, but blessing. I could have been a blessing to other people if I listened to the Lord better. Anyway, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. And I'm going to ask this question. Because he asked him, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Have any of you not satisfied with the things you're doing? You know, the world thinks they can find satisfaction and pleasure. In fact, I read about a man this week. Heard about a man. He said he had met a billionaire from Nigeria, the most miserable man he had ever met. A billion. But he's miserable. Wherefore you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He'll confirm that covenant in your heart. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Now get this, verse 6 and 7. And 8 and 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You remember the Song of Solomon that the lover appeared to the little lady, which represents the child of God. And he knocked on the door, and she hesitated going to the door. Remember that? And when she finally got the door, he was gone. So I want to encourage you, be sensitive to God this year. When he's speaking to you, listen to him. Drop what you're doing when you have to sometimes, and just get with him. Be like Mary, not so much like Martha. And choose that good part. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. While he's consciously near. Let the wicked forsake. Now this is good. Let the wicked forsake his way. Because many of you feel to be wicked and are wicked. We are really. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, abundantly pardon. Isn't that beautiful? Some of you may have sinned so far down that you say, God could not possibly forgive me. See, the devil tell you that. But here's what he says. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. He'll have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now you say, that's too good to be true. It is too good to be true, but it's true. That's why the next verse is so pertinent. A lot of time I take the next verse out of context, use it for a sermon on its own, but let's consider it in the context. Here's the context. That can't be true, what Brother Zach is saying. That's too good a news. That may be true of other people, but not me. Because I've sinned against light. I rebelled against God. I repeatedly sinned. I lifted my fist in God's face. He won't forgive me. He might forgive the man in the pew beside me, but he won't forgive me. He can't. So that's why you say this is just too good to be true. So that's why we have these next verses. Listen, for my thoughts are not your thoughts that you just had, that I just voiced for you. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heaven is high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. The context is in a context of forgiveness. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That's an invitation. The Lord's saying, again, I'll read that first verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come. Say three, come. Three times and one precious verse. Isn't that glorious? Now let's go to Matthew 11, one of my very favorite scriptures of all time. In fact, I use this, and if many of you know, if I write a letter to you, probably I'll sign it in his easy yoke. And here's why I did that. One time we had a inspector that came to inspect our school for asbestos a long time ago. And he was dying of cancer. Mr. A man named Lassiter. I never forget him. His face was all red from radiation. But he was a great Christian man. And he wrote a letter to us and signed it in his easy yoke. And that got my attention. So my friend, we are in an easy yoke if we're God's children. Let's look at his invitation. Now we got an invitation from God there in Isaiah 55. Here's an invitation Jesus Christ personally gives to certain people. See, if you're one of those people in Matthew chapter 11, beginning of verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered in Matthew 11, 25 and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And my friend, he had done that. He's hidden these things from most of the wise and prudent. Has revealed them unto babes, just like he did this season of the year. We're thinking about Jesus Christ being born, and who did he appear to when he had born? Those shepherds, not the people down in Jerusalem, not the doctors of the law, not the movers and shakers in the United Nations, but to people, my friend, the world wouldn't wipe their feet on. And he still works that way today. He still works that way today. So at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and reveal them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I love, my friend, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Don't you? Now that background, look at what he said. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. He to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now our invitation. Are you ready for this invitation? Are you invited? Do you fit this category? Coming to me, not come to the church, but I will say, if you do come to him, you're more than likely going to come to the church. Now, I'll just have you give you a verse on that before I go further, okay? Look over in Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, 4. If you come to the Lord, he's saying come to me, but you're going to really find him mainly in the church, even though you'll find him outside the church. I know that. He's everywhere. It's a personal invitation to come to him. We're not worshiping the church, but we worship in the church. Because Psalm 27, 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. So I will be coming to the church, no doubt, if I really am coming to Christ. Why wouldn't I want to be with his children and worship with them, with like-minded people like we have here today? What a joy it is. So coming to me, he says, who? You're a laborer and are heavy laden. Anybody fit that category today? Anybody carrying strong psychological burdens, spiritual burdens, moral burdens, soul burdens, unhappy burdens, dissatisfied burdens, regret burdens? Like the song we sang today, much of my time has run to waste. I'm near my, you know how that song goes. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. Now, he's not asking people who are self-satisfied to come. Why would they come to him? I'll give you rest. Ah, oh, what a rest that is, too. That's an amazing rest, isn't it? That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's the peace that's better experienced than explained. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Do you want to learn of the Lord this year? How much do you know him? Anybody graduated yet? Sister Patty hadn't graduated. She's one of the best Christians in the church. She hadn't graduated. She wants to learn more of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Old Amos Aldridge just died, 95 years old, I think. He was the same age that the Helen was, about 95 probably. He's still learning, the last time I saw him. He's infinite. You have learned all about him. You think you know all about him? You don't. Like my wife, I've been married 47 years. I loved her when I married her, but I love her more now. We've gone through some things together. She stood by me. She's trustworthy. So I have not only just romantic affection, which I still got into, by the way. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Still makes my shirt go up and down my back like a window shade. But I have a deeper affection. My friend, that's what it is with the precious Lord. He's better than you think he is. He's more forgiving than you think he is. He gives second chances. He gives third chances. He gives fourth chances. We don't play with him. We don't sin that grace may abound. God forbid that. But you know what I'm talking about if you've been around very long. I said to the church the other day, I'm beginning to identify more than I ever did with Mary Magdalene. I thought, well, she's really a sinner. You know, really a sinner. I like, I'm not really a sinner. Just kind of a garden variety sinner. But Mary Magdalene had seven devils cast out. So you know what? She really did love the Lord. She really did love the Lord. Because she had really been forgiven. But I'm beginning to realize that I reflect over my life. Oh, Zach, you're in the same boat old Mary's in. You have made different kind of demons. But buddy, if God Almighty had given you what you deserved, you wouldn't be in that pulpit. You wouldn't be in that church. You'd already been destroyed. So I'm getting to feel more, I'm getting to love the Lord more, I think I am. I want to. We sing the song. Do you really mean that? I want to love him more. I want to love him more. He's done so very much for me. I want to love him more. And I'm going to tell you this. If you love him, you're going to be obedient to him. The test of love, my friends, is willing obedience. If you're not trying to obey him, you may say you love him. You're just fooling yourself. If you don't really love him, say, God, I want to obey you in the hard things and in the easy things and the little things and the big things. I want to really love you, Father. I want to prove my love to you by trying to walk close to you and obeying you. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Like the Apostle Paul, this very famous scripture, even I quoted this not too long ago from the Philippian letter. He's already an old man. He's already walked with the Lord for a long, long time. He's in prison right now in Rome. Not his final imprisonment, but he's still in prison. And he said over there in Philippians 3, That I may know him, 10, verse 3:10. That I may know him. Can you feel the passion there? I can. That I may know him, he says. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Paul, you've seen him. What do you mean you want to know him, Paul? You've actually seen him in visions at least 3 times. He appeared to you personally, Paul. He never appeared to me that way. You mean you still want, Paul said, that I may know him. That I may know him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. That's amazing. Do you know that's the only time Christ ever described any of his personal characteristics? That's the truth. That's the only time in the Bible the Lord ever revealed verbally any of his personal characteristics. And what are they? I'm meek and lowly in heart. What does that mean? You can come to him. You can come to him. Some people I can come to. I always embarrass Kiefer, and I hate to do it. Forgive me, Kiefer, one more time. But one reason I love Kiefer is he's gentle by nature. I've never felt intimidated by him. I respect him. He's a man of integrity. He's not a pushover. But you can just kind of come to a guy like that. I don't know where I'm at. Well, I'm probably not. But if I ought to be, and I want to be. But we ought to be easy to be entreated. That's wisdom. James 3 says, true wisdom, easy to be entreated. Are you that way with your wife and husband? I'm not always that way with Judy. Sometimes I am. Sometimes it's kind of hard for her to come to me. I'll try to do better this year, dear. I want to be easy to be entreated. Jerry, if you want to come to me, I want you to feel free to come to me. He won't chew me out. He'll tell me the truth. We can come to Jesus Christ. He's not got his arms folded like that and saying, dare to come. He got the welcome mat out for his children. That's the truth. So he says that. That's why he wants you to know that. I'm meek and lowly in heart. That's amazing, isn't it? You shall find rest of your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's a beautiful invitation, isn't it? Now let's go to another one. This is a little shorter one, but it's a beautiful one indeed. And the church played a part in this. And we all have to play a part in this. This is over Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, and this verse has the word come in there numerous times, like Isaiah 55 did. The Spirit and the bride, that's us, the church, we say come too. We ought to be those kind of people. To be looking out for sinners. I hope the Great Chapel this year will be looking out for sinners who need help. And they can find help here. That's what I hope we'll do. And the Spirit and the bride say come. And then the individual Christian says come. Not only the church ought to collectively say come, but also let him that heareth say come. So see there? The Spirit's got to be there first. Then the bride of Christ is coming. Then individual Christians are saying come. Come on, come on. Let him that's athirst come. Again, the self-satisfied, he didn't say come. Let him that's athirst come. And my friend, I hope God make people thirsty. The song we sang here, by the way, that number 431, pretty interesting. On that come and dine. To the hungry calleth he, come and dine. I know my wife likes it when I sit at the table and I'm hungry. I never have spurned her food. One time I did when we first got married. I made a big mistake. I learned about that. And I even like that stuff now, that casserole I didn't like. But Judy knows I like to eat. I know it makes her feel. Sisters, when you work real hard and you get this meal going, and you just work real hard, and wouldn't it be terrible to see the guy sit down and kind of pick at it? After all my work, and he's just picking at it. But boy, when he dives in there and eats that, you say, have another second, happen, all that. You're just glad he's enjoying that. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Listen, the preacher likes it. And Great Chapel got a lot of you to do that. I want your faces. And I like to see people who are hungry. I came to church hungry. My soul needs to be fed. I'm looking forth to the Word of God. I like that a lot. And my friends, well, we are hungry. Let's make God bless us this year. Give us a great spirit of hunger and thirst when we come to the house of God. We'll have some revival services. And whosoever will, you know who that is? I'll tell you who that is. You want some verses to back up that? If you will come, you come on. You know why you're willing? Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's when you're willing. I'll tell you something else we'll find out over in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. He works in us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God which worketh in you both the willing and the doing of his good pleasure. Isn't that beautiful? Romans 9, 16. Not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, of God that showeth mercy. My friend, if you will come, you ought to thank God he's given you that will to come. Because if he had not given you, you wouldn't even want to come. So look at that verse there. Right there in Revelation, that wonderful last book of the Bible. The Spirit and the bride say come. Let him that heareth say come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and take what of the water of life freely. Freely. I love that. Two or three more scriptures. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9 just for a moment. I hope you're taking this today and listening to this today. I'm not interested in preaching a good sermon. I hope and pray to God to preach, and I hope God will preach to you today, and you'll believe what I'm saying because I'm coming to the Word of God. But then the same point over in Matthew chapter 9. I'll start at verse 10, okay? Matthew 9:10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Sound like Greg Chappell, doesn't it? A bunch of publicans and sinners. Tony Machiavelli used to say, the Church of Jesus Christ, Christopher, your granddad used to say, the church is Sinners Anonymous. Not Alcoholics Anonymous, Sinners Anonymous. That's what we are. A bunch of sinners trying to help each other out, be on the straight and narrow. As he came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why is your master the publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, the fetter is sick. Are you sick? If you're sick, you're in good shape. If you're consciously sick, you're in good shape. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That word come again. I've come to call righteous. I've not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's beautiful to me. Now let's look at James chapter 4. Look at James 4. This is probably the most, if you need to get close to God, let me recommend you James 4. If you really want to get close to God, I recommend James 4. I recommend you starting in verse 6 and go on a few verses. You'll see what I'm talking about. I'm serious about that. Listen, how do you come to God? Why don't you just get that scripture right there and sit on top of that for a while. And get with God by yourself in a quiet place and meditate on this and pray about this. And your soul ask God to help you come to Him. That's how to do it, I think. I don't think it's big magic. I think that's just how you do it. The Word of God helps you do it, doesn't it? You're not just doing it on your own. You're doing it with the Word of God, the assistance of the precious Holy Spirit. I'll start in verse 6. James 4. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace unto the humble. Now look at all these imperatives. There's a bunch of imperatives. That imperative is the mode of command. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I mean, only Him, my Lord, had a right to tell me every step of the way how I should live. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. That's beautiful. So I'll just leave it with you to work on that. Now let me tell you some things that how rich this is. I want to go to about three places. I'm going to quit here in just a minute. But I want to tell you some things that God does, how this is, how blessed we are. He blesses us with his infinite fullness. Now let's go to John 1:16. It's really too good to be true, but it is true. Over in John chapter 1, verse 16, and I mentioned this many, many sermons ago now. When I first read this in a commentary, it just thrilled my soul. And every time I go to the ocean, I think about this. Every time I go to the seashore, I think about this. Genesis 1:16, John. Of his fullness, Jesus Christ, he got a lot of, he's full, just full. He's just fullness. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And that word for means in place of. And here's what William Hendrickson said, the best I've ever heard. Have you noticed when you're at the seashore, a wave rolls in. But guess what happens then? Another wave rolls in. Take its place. Then guess what happens again? Another wave rolls in, take its place. How long are you going to do this? How long do you do it? Did it ever cease? God didn't ever quit either. That's one reason Patty likes that song. The Lord had been so good to me, right, Sister Patty? I want to sing his praise. I want to glorify his name all my remaining days. At my age, it's kind of fun to look back. It's kind of fun. It's kind of, I haven't been doing it very long. I just started about a year ago. It just kind of hit me one night. I got to thinking and meditating on how good God had been to me. Got overwhelmed. Childhood blessings, adolescent blessings, young manhood blessings, marriage blessings, kids blessings, church blessings, material blessings, physical blessings, spiritual blessings, 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 blessings. Rescue, rescue, rescue. How many times he lifted me up? New chances, new chances, new beginnings. My daddy, Robert, when he was dying, Jerry McMinn was living with us at the time, and I was busy, so I didn't spend the time with daddy I should have spent. And he said, your daddy, I used to sit out in the backyard with him, and he would have this congestive heart failure, right like Richard does, could hardly even breathe. But he sat there and all day long talk about how good God been to me. Just lost his wife 5 years ago, only had her for 19 and a half years. Had heart trouble a lot of his life. Was raised in poverty. All he'd do was just go, God, I can't believe I'm coming to the end of my life. How good God been to me. I hope we die that way, don't you? Claude Ewing doing that, isn't he, kids? Hurting bad, real bad. Body tearing up. Breaking up into pieces. Glorifying God Almighty. Jerry Jr., eating up a cancer. Can't even eat. Can't even enjoy a hamburger. Got that tracheotomy. Blessing God. Blessing God. I'm not saying you won't have bad times. There may be times when you're even getting mad at God. That's where sinners. But the basic thing is, God Almighty is blessing his people to show his grace even in their adversities. And he's got living grace. He's got dying grace. I'm going to tell you the same thing I said at David Wallace's funeral. You get this. This is the truth. I said, I've got a strange statement to make about David Wallace. The day he died is the best day of his life. It's not the best day of your life. You left behind a grief. That's the best day of his life because the day he went to see Jesus Christ. That's not original with me. Jeannie and I got to be dear friends with Darlene, what's her last, Walker. His deafening sister. They married brothers, Richard Creekmore's mom-in-law. Her sister. Anyway, don't worry about all the kinfolk stuff. I married my own grandpa. You know how it goes. But anyway, she's a little old bitty quiet woman. Got to baptize her at Clint, Kentucky. One day she's riding with me and Judy back to Memphis in the car, see her sister. You remember her? Real quiet and gentle. She just got to talking so slow, I wasn't paying attention to her much, to my shame. All of a sudden, the light bulb went off. Wham! And she said something big. Brother Zach, I thought a whole lot about the day I died. That'd be the best day of my life. That's the day I'm going to see Jesus Christ. I almost drove the car off the road. My friend, that's the truth. That's the truth. Paul said, to part and be with Christ, which is far better. He told the thief on the cross, today, you will be with me in paradise. The song Casey taught me to sing at his wife's funeral, face to face with Christ my Savior. My friend, he got an inheritance waiting for his children. And they have the earnest of their inheritance now. Why wouldn't you come to him? So, John 1:16 says, of his fullness have you received, and grace for grace on top of grace. Let's look over in Romans 5 for a moment. This is our God, our great God. He said, come and dine. This is Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 3, okay? Because we don't have easy life. I'm not saying it's an easy life. I didn't say that. And not only so, we glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Through the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I like that. You like that shed abroad? Just one glimpse of him in glory. All the toil of life repay. You know, I got some news for you. Even one glimpse right now will all the toil of life repay. One time there was a guy named Harvey, what's that late guy's name, woman? Georgia. Anyway, it don't make any difference. He married Becky Fulmer. He's a fine, fine young man, deacon at Bethany Church there in Atlanta. Well, H.D. Fulmer was his pastor in those days. He got a brain tumor. Finally died of it. But they had to operate on him. The doctor said, and you think about this next time you use your voice to sing. He said, I'm going to tell you now, I don't know what to expect when you wake up. You may not be able to see. You may not be able to say a word. So you know what he did? The last thing I want to do, he said, he sang that a fountain filled blood. The good news is he woke up, he was okay for a while. But you think about that. If you had the last thing you're going to say, what would you say? Get what? He came out of the surgery. He tried to tell people what he had seen. He couldn't really do it. He finally began to weep, and he said, God smiled at me. You know God can do that now. You get down, he can smile at you. He'll do that. He'll lift his face up on you and smile when you need it. You don't need it all the time. We get spoiled. But he can do that. One more, I'm through. Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. A couple of verses here, because I want God to do this for you. Our consciences just tear us up, and they're a good thing we have a conscience. But the devil can also drive us crazy by digging the conscience the wrong way, and you may be there today, so I want to read these verses to you in Hebrews. We get real bad grief and all that, and regret, stuff like that. So in Hebrews chapter 9, and 14. I'm going to start in verse 12, okay? Read down through 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, got that? Having obtained, get that? Didn't say he tried to, did it? Having obtained eternal redemption for us, for the blood of goat, of bulls and of goats, the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to purify the flesh. Look at verse 14. How much more should the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He'll purge your conscience. He'll purge your conscience. And then over in 10:22, he says something similar. So I want you, this is a good one to close on. It's fitting in real well. I said, come, right? So he's going to say the same thing in different words. Let us, I'm going to ask you to do join me, will you? Let us, let's do this, okay? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let me read that again. Let's do that, shall we? Ask God to help us do that this year. Let us draw near the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our conscience, our heart sprinkled, from an evil conscience, our bodies washed in pure water.